A couplet has come to mind. A poet stated this, and this is the meaning of the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being, insan, and the objective for creating the human being wasn't that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needed our ibadat or needed our prostration or Allah needed our salah or Allah ta'ala needed our dhikr, our adhkar. The reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need our worship, because were the angels not enough for ibadah, for worship? And see the worship that the angels do to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need to do tabliq to them, you don't need to give them da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put them into sajda, they will stay in sajda. And if they're in ruku, they will stay in ruku. Those angels that are doing tasbihat of Allah, alhamdulillah, what tasbihat they are doing, what dhikr Allah they are doing. And our quantity is nothing, the amount we do, that there's not one square millimeter or inch free between the heavens and the earth that is not filled with the angels who are doing ibadah. So this was not the objective for insan, for worship. But we have forgotten our objective. And then Allah Ta'ala repeated the objective that He has given to us, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the final Prophet. And all the previous prophets gave the same sabak, the same lesson. But the lesson was completed by who? By our Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The message he gave, our final Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he sealed that message. And this was the same message of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That look, we in this world, we have to live in this world. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in this world, He has given us a tarteeb, He has given us a methodology, a sketch, a framework, that sometimes somebody is high, somebody is low, somebody is rich, somebody is poor, somebody is in poverty, somebody is ill. It's not this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not aware, or that He wants to make differentiation, or that He wants to give people a lot of riches and wealth, or people to make them poor. There's a hadith the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that in reality all of the differentiation we see in the world of creation and the ups and the downs and different scenarios and circumstances that people have, the reason for this is that we can understand how to assist and cooperate with each other. We can fulfill the needs of each other. We can become those who have sympathy with each other. We should sympathize with each other, assist each other, have love for each other, affection for each other. And this is why we have the highs and lows of the world. That's why Allah Ta'ala made somebody wealthy. That when you see somebody is poor, then it is fard on you, it is compulsory on you, your Islam tells you, your Iman tells you, that you need to give to him. This is Allah Ta'ala's mal, Allah's wealth that He has given to you. It's not yours. You need to share it and distribute to help a poor person, to fulfill somebody's need, to see somebody in difficulty, to remove that difficulty. Somebody is in distress, to do away with his distress. Subhanallah. To share with somebody's distress. Imagine somebody's distress, the amount of problem or worry or difficulty that person's got. And if you've got the resources or you've got the means that you can give that person satisfaction or peace or contentment, or you can make him understand or give him some nasiha. Do you know how great an ibadah is this? This is the biggest ibadah. This is the purpose of our creation. This was the reason we were created. This was the reason we were formed. This is why we've been kept in the world, that if I'm rich, then my neighbor, he is poor. And if I'm rich in the village and there are many other poor people Allah Ta'ala has created in that village, Allah Ta'ala says that I'm not an enemy with poor people. Or if somebody is rich, it's not that I love him so much I've given him riches and that I dislike the poor people more. No, this is the test between the society. That how do we cooperate and live with each other? That without any greed, without any thought of I'm doing a favor for somebody, without any dunya objective, without any worldly objective or agenda, rather without any preconditions, we should help each other. There should be so much love and affection between all human beings, without any precondition, without any criteria, that we should be willing to lower our own desires and sacrifice our own wants and desires, that we should want more for other people. We should sacrifice our desires, our children's wants, and give more to others. When the love for creation overwhelms our own love, that this is the creation of Allah, I can please Allah if I please His creation. Yeah, if you assist the creation of Allah, you will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is such a big ibadah. that is stated is a great ibadah, great form of worship. There's a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that a person, if he fulfills the need of another person, if somebody who is in an issue or distress and you remove that distress, it's not a minor thing. Rasulullah swore that if all the adab that are about to come onto that person hereafter, Allah Ta'ala will remove all of those punishments and adabs on that person. Said Allah will remove all of them, and without any accounting, that person will enter into paradise. Tell me, what an ibadah this is to assist other people. Think for a moment, think. Without any accounting. And another place it states, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, subhanallah, that when people will be drowned in their punishments and will be in difficulty, then for such a person to remove the difficulties in the world, a person remove the difficulties from people in the world, Allah will allow nur to be around that person, light to be around that person. I swear by Allah, if we can understand this hadith, and if we do amal on this hadith, and we practice this hadith and do amal, then I tell you, our ma'ashara, our society will become beautiful. There will be no enmity, no differentiation, no opposition, no hatred. And we wouldn't have issues with each other. We won't pester anybody. We won't ridicule anybody. We won't pain anybody. Yeah, there are issues. There will be things. And maybe when we go into our countries, we, for example, go to our villages, and when there's the election time, and the people, when they're in the village, they become khadims. They say, the politicians or the rich people, we're going to serve the people. The person wants to become an MPA, the member of the provincial assembly or member of parliament, he wants to be an MP. He says, yes, I'm a khadim of the nation, of the people. I want to serve them. I'm going to help people. And they go to the khankas, and they used to come to the khankah of Hazrat. And Hazrat said, you came to meet me. And I said, subhanallah, that in this young age, mashallah. He said, I'm the khadim, I'm going to serve the nation, and I've come here. And as I said, this is a good thing. As I said, do this, that don't take the votes from people, then just keep serving people. So that is the vote. For the vote, that person says he's doing khidmat. What is that? That will be adab. If you want to give somebody a loan, after giving a loan, you think that this person will become your servant and he will run after you. I've given him a loan, he's got debts that he are due to me. Whatever I say, he will do what I say. Or you will treat the person in a negative way, that he will feel ashamed and low, and you will be reminding that person that you did a favor for that person. Then your favor is finished. What's the point of that favor? And there are people do assist, but the problem behind them is this, that they have a purpose, that they are doing it for a worldly agenda. If you don't have a long-term vision and proper agenda, then we cannot succeed in our deeds. And the biggest objective in the world today is fulus, money. Either we put money as an agenda, or a worldly gain as an agenda, or status or rank as an agenda, and we are wasting such a big ibadah, the worship act of assisting and helping people in need. And nowadays we help people in need for money or for another reason. Brothers, we shouldn't have any purpose like this in front of us. Not that a poor person can't help a poor person. Of course a poor person can assist other poor people. Definitely Allah Ta'ala has given the potential to everyone that they can assist other people. Remember this. And mashallah, Allah Ta'ala has given people professions and careers, and many people's careers and professions are so good that they can assist people as well, and they can get a great maqam. Like a hadith I said, that is this a low reward, that the minbar of noor will be laid out for the people in the hereafter who assisted others in the world, and the adab will be wiped away and eliminated. And we will realize this when we get there on the day of judgment, and that person will be explained to that, look, a big worship you did in the world. And they say, whoa, I did this, I helped people, oh, I was affectionate to other people, and I just by chance helped somebody, and Allah Ta'ala accepted my deeds. And from morning till evening, we don't know how many chances come in our way that we can help other people, we can assist other people in our lives. But this is ibadah, this is worship. Allah Ta'ala gives a chance that we can attain forgiveness, to be elevated in our rank and our status. So in reality, when our status, Allah Ta'ala gives us a job or a career or a profession in any department, in any line or any subject or any career. For example, something comes to my mind, a medical profession, a doctor. This is such a profession, a doctor. I've seen such doctors, alhamdulillah, that they, through their profession, through their job, they became ghawth and kutab, through their profession, through their job. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the ill person, the dua of the ill person, I accepted this hadith, and if you go to an ill person, ask him to do dua for you. So Allah Ta'ala, at that time, Allah Ta'ala puts a person into his test. He is in a high situation. Allah grabs him, gives him illness, gives him higher rank and status. Allah is so Rahim, merciful. If Allah Ta'ala puts somebody on a high rank, on a high status, high level, Allah Ta'ala elevates him so much that when the ill person does dua, his dua is accepted. His mustajab da'wah. That he does, if you go to the ill person and he does dua, then when he raises his hand, his dua will be accepted. He's like a qutaba ghawth. He's so high in a rank. And a sinner, poor person who is an ill person, he's lying down. We think, oh, he's ill. What's the point of going and meeting that person? Take the opportunity. With the tariqah method, some people do that with hadith. They say, oh, we came to ask you to do dua for us. Do dua for us so we can be forgiven. This is not the way to go and see an ill person. He's ill. And you're going there and selfish. And he'll say, you're selfish. You came to me just because you wanted your dua secretary. This happened with me. Once an ambulance was taking me, and there was a person, who's going? He said, Hazrat Sahab's ill. He said, is it? Oh, he came running after the ambulance. I said, maybe he's coming to us. He said, oh, I've got a chance, Hazrat. I know I'm practicing the hadith and my breath is hard to, it's hard for me to breathe. And the oxygen, for example, assistance being given here, and they're putting the people in the ambulance, the medics, they're giving me assistance. Saying, Hazrat Sahab, you're a friend of Allah. Do dua for me. Raise your hand so I can be successful because you're ill and I've come to see you because you're ill. I can get my dua successful. How can I raise my hands? I don't even know about myself. How can I raise my hands for you? Is this the tariqah, the method to earn dua? Brothers, to do amal on this hadith, which is in our control, even then we're greedy. When we do amal on this hadith, imagine, so our ma'ashara society is greedy and selfish. Such a big worship to go and see the ill person, we waste it because of our selfishness. Brother, if you're going to see someone who's ill, think, you're ill. And I come to see you and I take roses or flowers or something for you to drink and I press your legs or your head and then the person will give dua for you, that you've gone to assist him in illness, and that suddenly that dua that will come out by chance will be a great dua, great prayer. So we should earn the du'as. When we go to the ill person, go with an iniyah that yes, you're going to see that person, so you can also get du'a. But when you go there, don't be greedy. Think, have a niyyah, I will do a khidmat, I will serve that person, I love that person. When he sees me, or she sees, they will say, ah, you've come to see me, may Allah give you health, and may your children have a long life and success. And suddenly that du'a will shoot up to the heavens and it will be successful and accepted. So this is the adab. The adab of the mu'ashara, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the merciful Nabi, his whole life was like this. This chapter of history, the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the chapter of akhlaq and worship of good conduct, social intercourse, high level social intercourse, we will not see this example anywhere else. And this was the life, the complete life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, morning till evening, all day long. This was the lifestyle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He would go and see and assist the people in need and ask them what they needed and assist them and fulfill their requirements. Not just his own people, his family, rather the enemies. Upon the enemies, the worst of the enemies, alhamdulillah, they would take faith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and dua and prayer. Doesn't matter what religion they were, what faith they had, because this is insaniyat, humanity we're talking about. Islam is not restricted to just the Muslims. Islam came as peace for all of mankind. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his tabligh, his propagation, his Islam, his iman, the Muslim, every Muslim is peace, propagates peace, spreads peace, distributes peace. This is the situation with the fadl of Allah, the grace of Allah, we have entered into Islam. We've forgotten these points. And the more dhulm there is today, the oppression in Islamic circles, we don't even see that in non-Islamic circles. The enmities, the selfishness, the greed, we see within Muslims and our Islamic societies, we don't even see them in non-Muslim societies. We are the worst. And the initiation of Islam, the basis of Islam, the foundation of Islam, is peace, humanity, love for all, assisting people. And Allah Ta'ala has elevated this ibadah and given it such a high maqam. But we don't understand this. We don't implement this. In the hadith, it is stated that the man, when he fulfills somebody's need, he realizes somebody is distressed or has an issue, or a person has a problem, and I can help that person and get rid of that person's problem, and you start walking towards that person, you take strides to assist that person, then on your every step, Allah Ta'ala will elevate you 70 times your level, and 70 sins will be removed, and 70 good deeds. And when you get to that place, when you assist that person, then Allah Ta'ala says, all of your sins will be wiped away because you're assisting that person. All the sins will be removed, and alhamdulillah, after that time you die, you pass away. The words of the hadith are such, if you pass away in that state at that time, then without any reckoning you will enter into paradise. without any reckoning. Why? Because you took steps and strides to assist a person in need. You had no greed. You didn't want to favor that person. There was no need, no greed, no selfishness, no worldly agenda, no money, no fulus, no requirement, nothing that you needed from that person in the world, just for the sake of Allah. We don't remember afterwards that we helped that person. We wipe it from our memory. Open your heart and assist the humanity. Help people for the sake of the creation of Allah. Help them. Assist people as much as you can. And the taste you will attain in your heart, in your mind, in your life, you will not get from any worship. The taste you get, for example, the Haji Sahiban who have traveled. And Hajj is, this is the meaning of Hajj. We think Hajj is just worshipping and going here and there and the rukans. But if a person starts the work, the people on Hajj, yaqeenan, the Haji who have gone, people will be there, they will be sitting in dhikr, mashallah, dhikr is there and they will be listening, so inshallah the words will get to them. Some doctors have gone, some other people have gone, mashallah, and people have gone from here, they are happy, they are fortunate and they have money, they can go. So the people who come from our countries, other countries or poorer countries, they don't even drink one cup of tea, and then they multiply with their money. They look at their, for example, rupee, and a rupee, there's that many riyals, and it's 2 riyal for a cup of tea. They sit down, no, we can't drink a tea, I can't even drink a cup of tea. So some people I've seen that they go on Hajj, they don't give attention to the pillars of Hajj or worship. They say, who can I serve here? The Haji, I saw one person, mashallah, and he was assigned to me. By chance, I was there and I was on Hajj. And without any reason, I had no link with that person. One person came and said, here, this person will stay with you and please look after this person. And I looked behind and he was with me. He was next to me because I couldn't say anything to him. What could I say to him? And I was quiet. And subhanAllah, what could I say that? Oh no, I can't assist. I didn't say anything and he left him with me. Then I realized that the person, he was weak from his eyesight. Rather, he was more or less blind. I said, oh, so my Hajj is gone. So he took my hand, I took his hand, those poor people, mashallah, and grabbed their hand. And yaqeen, and this is the point, that there's a big responsibility. You're on Hajj and you have such a person, you don't know that person, you're not aware of that person, and then you are responsible for that person, you take the responsibility and you're on your own, you have your own needs and requirements. It's difficult. Hajj is not easy, it's not a small thing, and you don't have experience, and suddenly a person comes to you who's in need, and this is a very old event, and mashallah, he's passed away and reached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala gave me an opportunity, a great opportunity, a chance that my Hajj could be accepted and my darajat could be elevated, increased, to help that person. Then afterwards you realize these things. I took his hand, whatever I needed to do, I did. It's a long story. And one thing I remember about that person, the person was never blind, and we were in Masjid Nabwi, and you know about Hajj, it's very old time, decades ago, there weren't resources or ease or facilities. Though I said to him that, look, what we do here is that I've made you do everything, assisted you. What you do now is you sit here with ease, enjoy yourself, so I can go and do some of my ibadah. He said, no, it's, you're free now, you're free. And I couldn't even pray my nafil, everything I stopped. I couldn't do nafil, voluntary, everything. I ceased my own ibadah, no Quran, no recitation, no ibadah, no worship, because I was with that person to look after him. Whatever I did, he had to do whatever he had to do. And he used to tell me, where did you go? You left me. What are you doing? Why did you leave me? And I can't see. I said, please, I made a mistake, forgive me. He said, how can this be? You think this is justice that you go and do your own ibadah and you're saying salam, you don't do anything? I said, I didn't go to do salam, I will take you with me, I didn't leave you. So khair. I remember one event with him, there was a masala I was stuck in, and there was a masala with regards to the journey we were on, and I was taking him, and he stood up, and we were next to the gumbad, and he couldn't see. And he said to me, where are we? I said, we're in front of the gumbad. And he raised his hands up. Allahu Akbar, what a dua he did. And I was, subhanAllah, enjoying it. And all of the dua he did for me. All of the dua. Allah, I swear by Allah, at that same time, my situation, my predicament was solved right that second. You know, just like your treasure chest is filled. And I was doing dua and they weren't accepted. But the dua he did, at that same time, I had a problem, a separate problem. And the dua came from the depths of his heart. And alhamdulillah, I could see his dua was being accepted. Accepted. So brothers, this makhluk to serve the human beings, to help human beings. Look, when Allah Ta'ala increases somebody, elevates somebody to go on tabliq, and you, Allah Ta'ala gives you a bit of experience, not that I was a wali or some elder, because today if I didn't have the experience, then I wouldn't have the courage to speak in front of you today. Why? Because I felt that taste, the enjoyment of assisting someone I know, I consider it to be very valuable and precious. With that confidence I speak to you today, the experience is useful to me today. Maybe what I'm saying today sits in your heart and goes into your heart, and maybe your life will take you to the heights close to Allah. So as I said, that there are professional people with good careers and professions and doctors and medics, and happened with me. This is the experience I saw. So there, people don't have medicines. Many people are ill, they have fever, illnesses, and they're struggling with the fever, the temperature. They're sitting there, they have no water, nobody to give them drink. Some people are daif and elderly or weak. So when you go, we were young then, and we used to do hajj walking and by foot, and we used to see these things. And many times there were people with issues, and you'd see these things. So at that time, while we're walking, the haji people at that time, they're listening to me, we're saying, so buy some medicines. See, Panadol, how much does it cost? Buy some Panadol and other medicines and distribute it to the poor people, to the ill people, give them medicines. Because people from here, from Europe, they can buy these things, afford them, buy some food and give them chai and tea. And then the du'as that come from them, subhanallah. And because we're against, isn't it, that we're doing this for medicines, or so we're doing this for du'as. Don't tell them you're doing it for them. Don't even feel you're doing it for them. Because we don't say we're doing it for the du'a. Allah is watching, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala knows what we're doing. So those people who, when they do du'a for you, then your hajj will go to the heights beyond heights. Subhanallah. So this is the situation. Now may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Look, a hadith that comes to my mind at this moment. Such beautiful hadith that come to the mind. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that on the day of judgment, there will be the mizan. You understand mizan? The scale. And the deeds of people will be weighed, the good deeds, the bad deeds, the sins and the good deeds. And it's stated that that person who served another person, who fulfilled the needs of another person, for the public, for society, for human beings, to reduce their predicaments, to look after them, to remove their problems, to assist them, then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that on his scale of deeds, close to his scale of deeds, I will be stood, said the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not about any other worship. And Rasulullah Sallallahu said, I will stand next to his scale of deeds, and I'll be watching his deeds being weighed. I will see his worship being weighed, and I will experience his weighing of his deeds. And if I see that there's anything lacking in his deeds, then straight away I will intercede for him and allow him to be forgiven. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. And we, Allah Ta'ala, He will give us an opportunity in life that we can help other people, assist other people, remove the difficulties, fulfill their hajat, their predicaments, and help them. And rather, I've just said this by chance, that the tariqah Allah Ta'ala has given, that when somebody has a need or a requirement, then in reality, Allah Ta'ala has kept this as a high, high grade form of worship. We should do dua in the morning. Allah, give me an opportunity today so somebody can come to me who has a need so I can fulfill his need. What a great dua. What a great prayer. And then, so why has this happened? So the word ends here, the discussion ends. This, why can't we do this? What's the reason we don't do it? From where can we attain this ibadah? Why is this situation not in our ummah today? Why don't we feel for the people today? Why? Why if somebody's car's broken down and I'm passing by and I give him a push start and, oh no, 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 why should I get out and push his car? Why should I ask him, has he not got petrol? Or if he's a big person, then we'll run after him. We'll ask him, do you need help? But if it's a poor person who got a need or an assistant and his car's next to us, it's broken down, a poor car, run down car, we won't ask him, shall I charge your battery? We say, no, 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 just drive past him and run past him. We won't help him. But Allah Ta'ala gives us such opportunities every day to fulfill the needs of others, assist others, that Allah will put us on high levels after. In the morning, do dua every day. Allah, give me a chance today so I can fulfill the need of another person. Send that person to me, Allah, so I can fulfill this form of worship, this act of worship. Maybe it will happen that an alim of deen, you're a scholar, and a student comes to you. Such a student who, that he is not very brainy or intellectual, he is not very brainy, and he's got the passion to do hifd. What's the passion he's got to do hifd? And his parents, they have put their hands out to you, Allah, allow our son to do hifd. And this is the big requirement of the parents, isn't it? And you are the doctor, the professor, you are an expert of hifd, you are the hafid, the scholar, and this need has come to you, the child who's not very intellectual, he's not very capable, and he's come to you. You say, no, no, he's not capable, he can't do hifd. First day, oh, no, 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 get him out of the class. No. No, have patience. What's the objective? That you have responsibility to fulfill the need of that student. His mother will be happy, his father will be happy. And we've been told that when we sent our children, how much happiness was there that now our children are going to study to the ustad, and we used to do dua for the ustad. That we're looking at our child, isn't it? That he will become a hafiz somehow, or he'll become a memorizer of the Quran. The parents, the mother and the father have a desire, don't they? And if the ustad is somebody who's sincere, who can teach in his wali wala, then he'll understand, this is worship for me.
And this child who's not capable, I know this. Everyone says, no, he should be intelligent, he should be capable, he cannot study, he cannot do him, or he cannot pass. And some poor children, they are shoved left and right, they come back to the father, and then the parents, they're crying from their eyes, they become quiet, there's no teacher to teach them. If he can or cannot, don't let the child depart from you, just keep on teaching him, keep teaching him, let him learn, teach him, advise him. Why? Because this becomes your ibadah, your worship, and such a difficulty comes to your mind, and you have to try and make effort, but your niyyah should be one, that Allah, this is the student sent by you for the sake of Allah to please his parents or her parents. I will teach the student. The parents are happy. My child is going to do hifd and he's trying. Okay, if it's not in his destiny, when the child grows up, if he can't learn, he'll depart himself from the class. But we shouldn't chuck the child out of the class. No, you can't study. You're not capable. You haven't got the means. Many children, they lose out and the parents lose out because the teacher doesn't give tawajjuh. Allah says, is this the case? Okay, fine. Then I will answer to you. So you failed in your responsibility, O teacher. You failed. I gave you a chance. You could have served that student and taught that student. So every person in the world, rich person, wealthy person, teachers, peer sahab, hafidh, or doctor, whoever, whatever your profession, and the peer, the wali wala, this is a big field of khidmat e khalq, serving the creation. This is khidmat e khalq, all of it, totally. Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah, in the khanqah, we've seen the environment. How the teacher serves in the 2 a.m., the woman's coming, a child's coming, knocking on the door, Hazrat Sahib, Hazrat Sahib's weak, Hazrat Sahib's eyes are red, Hazrat Sahib opens the doors, what's the issue, my child is ill, please do dua. We say, oh, servant of Allah, night 2 a.m., you're going this time to do dhamm from Hazrat Sahib, no, my child's crying, let's go to Peer Sahib, do dhamm for the child, please help him. SubhanAllah, see the service Hazrat gave, but Hazrat didn't complain. Never, no one said, okay, no problem. Hazrat gave love, affection. So this is the service for humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we want Allah's nainis, muhabbat and qurb, and want izafa and progression in our rank and level, then accept this ibadah. But what's the restriction? The point comes back. Why don't we serve people? Why don't we help people? Why don't we assess the creation, the humanity? Because our hearts have become hard. When the heart is hard, then all of our ibadah goes to waste. When the heart is hard, the salah ends. When the heart is hard, then there's no recitation of Quran. When the heart is hard, all of the doors of worship, the greatest worship of assistance to humanity, shuts close. It closes shut. If we don't love ourselves and our family, we don't even love our own people when our hearts are hard. So how are we going to affect other people? How are we going to assist other people? How are we going to love other people? So we need to first soften the heart, make the heart soft and pure and tender, affectionate. And if we see our heart is hard, it has no compassion, no love for other people. And when I do for somebody something, then it's for agenda, for selfishness, for money, for worldly reasons. I'll never help anyone for Allah's sake. So then consider that your heart is hard like a rock. So what should we do then? At that time, do the dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. Remember Allah. Try that Allah soften my heart. Go to the wali of Allah. Turn to the wali of Allah. Sit in the company of the wali of Allah. And just by looking at the blessed face of a wali of Allah, Allah Ta'ala softens the heart. Allah softens the heart. I've seen this. This is my experience. That the hardest hearts, when they come and they sit in the company of the wali of Allah, their own hearts become soft. The people who come to sit. So if you go every day and sit with the wali of Allah, sit with them, speak to them, sit in their company and look at their blessed face and sit in the company, then your heart automatically will soften. And you won't need to say something. Allah Ta'ala will start to assist you. And then you'll start to assist others. I'm talking about normal people, if you assist them. So tell me, if you go and sit and serve a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, then what will be your maqam, your status in the hereafter? That Allah Ta'ala loves his wali, his friends, Allah Ta'ala assists them, has elevated them to the highest maqam, the people we call the wali Allah. Then if you've got a chance in your life, and Allah does give everyone this chance, that if you can assist the wali Allah, then tell me, if you assist the wali Allah, and has given you a chance that you start to serve the wali Allah, then Allah will take you, shoot you up to the high. If you become a khadim of wali Allah, and you start to do his khidmat, then imagine, that you will, alhamdulillah, reach to the heights so fast. What will become the maqam, the status of a person who serves the wali Allah? If you just serve any common, normal humankind man in the world, and you can get to the highest state. But if you give a sip of water to the wali of Allah, Allah says, for that service, on that day when everybody will be thirsty, Allah says, I will give you my water to drink. Allahu Akbar. Imagine. So if you get this opportunity to serve wali Allah, that's why the person from the lowest rank, he shoots up to the highest rank because of the service done to the wali Allah, to serve him, to assist him, to fulfill his requirement, to remove his difficulty. This is the same love. without any selfishness, without any greed, without any worldly reason, without any agenda, criteria, preconditions, solely for the sake of Allah, with the love of Allah, you serve the Wali Allah. So brothers, this is a big ibadah. Alhamdulillah, let's do dua to Allah that I can worship this way. Look at the creation of Allah. Wherever He's put us in the world, wherever we are in society, we should try to assist the society, humankind. We shouldn't have greed for the sake of the world. We should, for the sake of Allah, when you wake up in the morning, pray to Allah, Allah, give me a chance today. Just like I pray and recite Quran, do dhikr. Allah, please bring this into my destiny. Somehow during this day, I can take two or three people, human beings, so I can help them. Allah, give me a chance. And remember, don't, if someone comes to ask you for money, then give them money. If they come to ask you for something, give them something. Because I did dua in the morning for this person to serve the makhluk. Never. So when you have to go far to help serve someone, if you can do this, travel to help somebody. Go on the journey and help somebody. Go far, travel far. That I did dua in the morning. Allah said to me, no, you have to go to Scotland. Somebody's in need there. He's got a need and only you can fulfill it. Be quiet, totally. Just like you go for your work and you go on long journeys. Stop your agenda there, your schedule today. Today I'm going to go, this is for Jannah, for the sake of Allah, and go to Scotland and help that person. Okay, somebody's passport issue, visa issue, problem of renewal, and you've got the power, resources, go and help them. Okay, I'll travel with you, I'll assist you. And is this not something that is good? Aha, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.